you. Well, he first handed me the microphone, and I thought he was going to tell me to go hand it to somebody else. And he said, you get us started this morning. So talk about nervous. I'm nervous this morning, amen? Mainly because my preacher's here. And the kind of stuff we heard last night, that's the kind of stuff we get week in and week out around Concord. And I'm thankful for it. I really am. Hebrews in chapter number 11 this morning. Hebrews in chapter number 11. While you're finding your place, I just want to say right quick, I'm thankful for Sunday school. You say, why? Because Sunday school provokes me to think. Sunday school provokes me to really get my Bible and study. And this is a message the Lord gave me here a while back, provoked out of something I heard in a Sunday school. And we had a man at our church, missionary to Washington, D.C. about 2 years ago, Brother Chuck Harding. I don't know if y'all know him. And he dealt with some things in Sunday school. And I started, and I just wrote a few things down and just kind of started looking at some things on my own. And then Brother Randy had preached through the book of Joshua, and the Lord gave me this message out of some different things. I'm going to read verses number 30 and 31 in Hebrews chapter number 11. Then keep your Bible handy, and I'm going to give you some references, and we're going to get back into the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Let us pray. Lord, now I pray that you take, use me for your honor and your glory, Lord, to touch me, Lord, to help me, empower me with the power of the old time, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, that I wouldn't preach by myself, Lord, because I cannot preach by myself. Lord, it comes from you. Lord, we pray that you just take this, use it to encourage your people. Lord, to encourage the ones that are here, the ones that are out in the fellowship hall working, Lord, fixing lunch. Lord, we pray that you just be with the ones that hear this today. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to preach on the conquest of Joshua, but I want to look at the faith that it took. The conquest of Joshua, the faith that it took. I want to look at three things right quick. And if you have your Bibles handy and keep them handy and you want to go back to Exodus, we're going to go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. And we see faith in three aspects, at least I do, in Joshua's life. Joshua was a man who had a big responsibility. Whenever it come time, he was the one to take over for Moses. And we heard a little bit about that last night. Different ones who's looked up to different men who's come behind them. Of course, Brother Sammy's always thought of. And I think about Brother Randy. But you look at this in the biblical aspect, it takes faith to do some things. It takes faith. It takes faith to serve Joshua. Look at Exodus 24, verse number 13. This is, we've come out of Egypt. Let me give a little bit of background here. Y'all pray for me. We've come out of Egypt. We've come up to the Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter number 20, of course, we know the instruction for the construction of the tabernacle and the law of God is given. Look at what he says about Joshua. Look at what Joshua gets to do. Because Joshua had faith, Joshua followed his preacher, per se. He got to see some things nobody else got to see. He got to hear some things nobody else got to hear. And he got to experience some things nobody else got to experience. Verse number 13. Let's get verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. You go up to Exodus 32. I'm not going to deal with Exodus 32 this morning. But you go to Exodus 32. We know about the great sin that happened with the golden calf. I don't know where Joshua is in that picture. It would appear he's somewhere on the mountain, whether he's all the way up at the top and he's getting to hear the very things God is saying to Moses. I cannot say that. The Bible doesn't say where Joshua is. But he's not in the camp, because I believe from reading my Bible, if he was in the camp, he probably would have took Aaron's head off, because Aaron went and did something dumb. That's just from what I've, it's not necessarily my opinion, but from what Scripture says, I don't know that he was in the camp or he would have took Aaron's head off. At least I probably would have if I was in his position. You say, why? Because Aaron did something dumb. Aaron did something foolish. Aaron went behind his brother's back and did what the people asked him to. But it was dumb. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Look what else the Bible has to say about Joshua. Of course, we're first introduced to Joshua in Exodus 17. I'm not going to backtrack and take the time to do that right now, but we may go back to Exodus 17 here in just a minute. But Exodus 33, after this incident has happened, verse number 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. There's some preaching right there, but I'm going to leave it alone. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Joshua saw something in his leadership role, the person of influence in his life, to say, hey, I want what he's got. He saw something to say, it's not just the man that I'm following, but it's the God of the man that I'm following. And he said, he knows somebody, he knows something, and I want what he's got. You go to Numbers 14, we're not going to take the time to deal with Numbers 13 and 14, but you go to Numbers 14 and you look at what's said about Joshua and Caleb. There's a group of men sent to spy out a land. They come back, two says we can take it because God gave it to us. The other one said, no, we can't take it. They're bigger than us. We're like grasshoppers. There is no way. And it says that they caused the heart of the people to melt. But look at what he said about Joshua and Caleb. Verse number 24, he talks about Caleb specifically. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Of course, we know the promise that's given in verse number 30. This is God talking. Listen to what he says. He said, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And of course, we know the story, the way it plays out. You follow the children of Israel. There's a generation that dies, but Joshua and Caleb's the only two out of this group that get to go in and see the promised land. Now, I don't know what they was thinking at that point in time. They probably had friends that died. They probably had family that died. That probably took some faith to keep going. Yes, sir. They had family to die. You had friends to die. You had close ones to, you know, hey, you know, my buddy, I don't know what they had. But it took faith to keep going. Yeah, it took faith to serve. That's right. It takes faith to serve. Amen. Especially in 2025. And the more that I've went in this thing, and I've not been in it too long, but the more that I've went in this thing, the more that I watch my preacher, Brother Seaton, Brother Ronnie, we're a small crowd. It's not popular. It takes faith to serve, to go on, to keep going in the old time way. The Bible says to ask for the old paths and walk therein. Wherein is the good way? And I want that this morning. It takes faith to serve. Not only does it take faith to serve, this is probably where I'm going to labor a little bit, just a little bit longer, because, and no, it's not because I like fighting, but because it has to do with what I'm fixing to deal with, but it takes faith to soldier. Let's go to our Bible. Exodus 17. I'm not going to read all of this, but I do want to read a little bit. Exodus 17. So we're fresh out of, I know I'm going backwards a little bit, but we're fresh out of Egypt. We're fresh across the Red Sea. They're singing a song in chapter number 15. The horse and rider's thrown into the sea. Pharaoh and his army's dead, as Brother Randy has said many of times. And Exodus 17, they're confronted with the enemy. Verse number 8. And Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now watch this. Verse number 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, it's like out of everybody he could have picked, out of everybody he could have named, out of everybody that could have been put into this verse, Joshua's the one that gets picked. Amen. Some would say, ah, that's coincidence. No, that's God. God is starting to prepare Joshua here for something special. Look what he says. He says, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. He didn't buck. He didn't backtrack. He didn't debate it. He didn't ask him why. Now, sometimes in my human mind, I want to ask at least, you know, why am I doing some things? But sometimes it's just, hey, because the preacher said it, because your parents said it, just do it. It's not going to be the wrong thing. You may not necessarily agree with it when it first comes to you. I've been that way. You know why? Because I'm stubborn and I'm hard-headed. I'm human. But just do it. Amen. Don't, I mean, it's not a bad thing to ask why, but when some things, you ought to just do them. Because they're right. It takes faith to soldier. And he doesn't do anything except what he is asked to do. And of course, we know the story. As long as the hands of Moses is raised, the children of Israel prevail. When they fall, Amalek prevails. We know the story of Aaron and Hur, two unsung heroes, really, of this passage. But it takes faith to soldier. Now we move on forward into the book of Joshua. I know I'm not preaching all 24 chapters. Y'all can say amen right there and breathe a sigh of relief because I'm trying to be sensitive and get out of the way. I'd like to hear somebody else, amen. But you move into the book of Joshua, chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 of the book of Joshua. So we've come over Jordan, and we're fixing to look at our first big thing that we're faced with as a group. And I'm saying that like I'm putting myself into the scripture. And I like doing that with these battle scenes especially. But we've come over, we're fixing to face something that we've never faced before. We see something, we see a great city, walled, fenced. I mean, this big old thing. And it looks pretty formidable. What are we going to do about it? Joshua in chapter number 5, verse number 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Now we're fixing to get into in chapter number 6. He's fixing to get the instruction on how to tackle this big thing in their life. We know there's been estimated numbers of how big this group was. So y'all, I'm not going to start quoting numbers, but y'all bear with me while I try to paint this picture right quick and we get into chapter number 6. I don't know how many actually marched. I don't know if it was the whole group. The Bible doesn't say. I was looking at it again last night before I went to bed just to see if this actually gave a number. But it doesn't. So I don't know if it's the whole camp. I don't know if it's like just the women and children are back in the camp and it's the men who did the marching. I have no idea. Scripture does not say, and it's not my place to say either. But I do know it's a pretty good number. How big that number is, I don't know. But listen to what is said. So now we're going to get the instruction on what to do. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given. Now this would already help me because the Lord's saying, hey, I've already given it to you, but I'm going to tell you how to take it. Verse number 2, where I left off. I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And when it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet, and the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass before the ark of the Lord. So now he's received instruction. Now he's going to give it to the people. And if I'm one of these men of war that it talks about back in verse number 2 or 3, you know, I'm not going to question anything. But We know the story. We know how it goes. We know the ending. Very familiar passage here. I know where I'm at. I'm in a crowd of preachers. Amen. We've all probably dug a lot more deeper into this than I have. But after day three, if I'm one of these guys that's marched around the city and we do it once, we do it twice, we do it three times, day three, we've done it. We go back to camp. I'm going to start questioning, hey, when are we going to fight? When are we going to swing a sword? When are we going to throw a spear? When are we going to shoot an arrow? When are we going to go take somebody's head off? I'm going to get kind of complacent in what I'm doing. I've gotten complacent in what I'm doing. And that may, again, like Brother Seaton said last night about being transparent, if that's too transparent for you, I'm sorry. But I've gotten complacent in what I'm doing. And I'm just being honest. Complacency is dangerous. And I'm not going to chase that rabbit, but I'm just saying it from my own life. Complacency is dangerous. Especially in this thing of the Christian warfare. When the enemy sees you sitting unaware, that's when he moves in. Right. What does Peter say? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Right. And when he sees somebody not on guard, he'll stalk you. Right. He'll creep up on you. You watch the documentaries of a lion or a cheetah or one of them big cats of prey that hunt, they stalk. Yeah. They get down in the weeds. They get low where you cannot be seen. And they get ready to pounce on the prey. Usually it's one that's left the fold. Usually it's one that's hurt. One that's down. One that's already got a problem. A weak one. He goes and takes them out. That's what the devil will do. Faith to soldier. The Lord's given us a commission. He gave it to us. Of course, the Great Commission. But in Ephesians chapter number 6, we're told about the garment for Christian warfare. We're told, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then He tells us, once we've done all we can do to stand, stand.
Amen.
Keep standing. Amen. Hold your ground. Do like the man did. I forgot his name, but it's in 2 Samuel 23 where he stood in that patch of lentils. And I've heard preachers preach on standing for your pea patch and what have you. Keep standing.
Amen.
There's another man, or it could be the same man in that text, that it said his hand clave unto his sword. Keep standing.
Amen.
Keep going. You know why? Because I'm watching y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all watch the ones that went on before y'all.
Right.
Somebody's watching me. Keep standing. It takes faith to soldier. So then you get into chapter number 6. After he's received the instruction from the captain of the Lord's host, he tells the people, and like I said, I'd be complacent. You know, after day 3, we ain't swung a sword yet. Man, what's wrong? Are we going to fight or not? Day 4, same thing. March, go back to camp. Day 5, march, go back to camp. Day 6, march, go back to camp. Okay. Are we finally fixing a fight? Hang on. Y'all just chill out a minute, you know. I could see Joshua, some of them probably getting antsy because they ain't even supposed to say anything right now. You're supposed to hear the ram's horns, march, and that's it. You're not supposed to utter anything. You're not supposed to say anything. Day 7, and I'm not sure what the king and his men are thinking. They're probably like, man, look at these jokers. They're just marching, marching, and marching. Nothing's going to happen. Our walls are too thick. Our walls are too high. There ain't no way they getting in here. They ain't coming under the wall. They definitely ain't coming over the wall. They ain't no way this thing's going to get on. Day 7. Let's read. Chapter number 6, verse number 14. Verse number 14. And the second day compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that or therein, to the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are in her house with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels, brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall of the city and the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, I'm still scratching my head about this, but I really don't have to. You say, why? Because here and in Hebrews, it says specifically the city, the walls fell flat. And as a kid, I was, you know, okay, that's cool. You know, that's just what I thought. But then whenever I really started reading and studying, not before, and this was kind of before I was preaching, but ever since now that I've been preaching, you dig a little bit deeper. And sometimes, humanly speaking, this does not make sense. Because I've done some demolition, I've seen some demolition, I've watched videos on demolition. You knock a wall out, it's going to go, either whichever way you knock it, it's going to go in or out. In or out. I'll get my directions there in a minute. But for it to go flat, that's not normal. Something by supernatural, and I'm not going to get crazy or mystic here, but y'all know what I mean. Something from a supernatural, because they did what God told them to do, God somehow took that thing and just went, put that thing down. How he did it, I don't know. But what I'm going to say is, what do you got in your life that's an obstacle? What do you got in your life that you're dealing with that you're saying, Lord, I need to get past this, whether it's over it, under it, around it, through it. Yeah. David said in one place in the Psalms about he was so, I can't remember the exact word of Scripture, but he talked about that he could run through a troop or leap over a wall. Right. When the Lord does something for you, not only does it take faith to serve, faith to soldier, but faith to shout. There's things that you have in your life that once the Lord does them, it does anything and everything. It should immediately, and I'm talking to myself here too, it should immediately cultivate an attitude of thankfulness in your heart. I've got a message that I preach out of Psalm 107, four times in Psalm 107, and I'm not combining messages here, but this is in my mind. Four times in Psalm 107, there's a verse that says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Dad preached the other night on 1 Peter 5:7 that He cares. He careth. And I just want to say one more time, He's mindful. Brother Seaton last night with the broken things. He's mindful. It doesn't matter. The song that they sing comes right out of Job 23. That he says when he know that he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Things are not always pretty when they happen. But after they happen, the preacher the other morning said, Job 42, there's an after this. And after this, it ought to cultivate some kind of shout. An attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of victory, an attitude of, hey, I've been brought past this and now I'm going to give the Lord glory, do Him, because it was He and only He that did it. Amen. Go to Joshua chapter number 11, Joshua 24, and I'm done. Joshua chapter number 11, we find this statement. And Brother Andy, whenever you preach through this, and I started reading and studying this a little bit more in depth on the side, I found this kind of interesting where this verse is placed in Joshua chapter number 11, considering there's 24 chapters in the book. You think he would have hung something like this toward the end of the book, right before he records about the death of Joshua. But Joshua chapter number 11, verse number 15, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." So Joshua took all the land, the hills, and the south, and all the south country, and the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same. You would have thought they would have put that verse, you would have thought the Lord would have put that verse, and I'm not changing the Bible, but I'm just saying, with the way that is phrased, that He did all, that would be toward the end of the book. But apparently he did all, and the Lord said, hey, good job, son. You say, how do you know? Because look at how he ended in Joshua 24. Look at the way he ended in Joshua 24. He's called Moses' minister. We've seen that in a couple of verses already. He's called Joshua just by name. Look at Joshua 24. You go to Joshua 1 and it says, now the servant of the Lord, Moses, my servant is dead. Look at the way Joshua ended his life. Joshua 24, verse number 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And you find this again in Judges chapter number 2. He's called Joshua the servant of the Lord. He started right, but he ultimately finished right. He had faith to serve as a young man. He followed his preacher. He followed his parental influences. He followed the influences that God had placed in his life. He said, hey, I want what they got. Once it come his time, you can go back to Numbers 27. I'm not going to go back and deal with it. I didn't even mention it. Numbers 27, when he's publicly commissioned as the one to take over. Deuteronomy 34, Moses dies. Joshua chapter number 1, we pick right up. Joshua's commission. Joshua, he said, let me flip back to Joshua chapter number 1, and I'm done. Joshua in chapter number 1. And every time I read this, I think about what I've seen in my own life, at my church specifically. Joshua in chapter number 1, verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Watch this. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe according to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse number 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, at the beginning of his life, had a promise from the Lord God himself that said, as I was with Moses, even so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And he finished right. He finished the servant of the Lord. The conquest of Joshua, the faith that it took. It takes faith to serve, faith to soldier, faith to shout.